The title of my message this morning is, Why Me? It's a simple question, really. One many of us have asked before, haven't we? When things go wrong, when we end up on the short end of the stick, when something bad happens to us, we are often tempted to ask the why me question. But in all fairness, if we ask the why me question in regard to our burdens, shouldn't we also ask it in regard to our blessings? We take for granted the 100 days of perfect health, but when we get a cold or an ache or a pain, we ask, why me? We drive the freeway mile after mile after mile, day after day, month after month, but when we get a flat tire, we ask, why me? Why me? The one time that we have engine trouble. We casually accept the fact when our family is all together for the holidays, but when we're separated and we have thoughts of loneliness, we ask, why me? How often do we say, why me, when things are going well, when we are so blessed, rather than feeling sad about what we don't have? Doesn't it make more sense to feel a sense of joy over something that we do have? I know one person that felt that way, and this morning we're going to take a unique look at the Christmas story. We're going to look at a young girl who asked the why me question, but in a very different sense. She would ask the why me question with the sense of awe and wonder. It seems tragic that the human mother of the Prince of Peace would or should herself be the object of conflict and contention through the centuries, but to some, Mary is the object of worship. To many, she is the one to whom they pray. There are others, of course, who swing to the complete opposite end of the spectrum, and they virtually ignore her altogether. Although we do not worship Mary, we can certainly honor her as the chosen mother of our Lord and the conduit that God would use to lavish us with his grace. This morning, we're going to discover three things about Mary, which marked her character and should also mark ours. If you brought your Bible with you, I would invite you to turn to Luke chapter 1. You can open your Bible there or open your device. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. This is a very familiar passage. Luke begins in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have been favored by God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month which her with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Now, as I said, there are three things that I want us to focus on this morning, three characteristics of Mary, which I believe we should all possess. So my first point this morning is that Mary was a woman of holiness. Scripture makes it clear that Mary was a virgin. Now, the fact that this young woman has had no sexual union with a man does not in itself make her holy, but it does reveal something about her. Luke mentions Mary's virginity for three important reasons. The first is to fulfill biblical prophecy. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, you remember this verse. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. The second reason why he mentions Mary's virginity is that no man could be credited with the conception. This was important because had Jesus been born of human parents, he would possess a sin nature rather than a divine nature. Since Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, he was indeed divine. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, "God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Since he knew no sin, since Jesus knew no sin, Jesus would be the perfect, appropriate, and unblemished sacrifice for our sins. Had he been the offspring of mere human parents, Adam's original sin nature would have been imputed or passed down to him, just as it has been passed down to you and to me and also to Mary. Yes, despite Mary's piety and holiness, she was not sinless. There is no biblical evidence to support what has become known today as the Immaculate Conception. Mary was not conceived sinless, so she could one day be the deliverer of the deliverer. In fact, the evidence that does exist supports just the opposite. Look again in Luke chapter 1, this time down to verse 46, where we read what's called the Magnificat. Beginning in verse 46, Mary says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all the nations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." The third reason that mentioning Mary's virginity is important is the fact that Mary, it tells us several things about her character. It's an indication of Mary's adherence to the Jewish law. Mary and Joseph's engagement probably lasted a year. During that time, they were considered already married by the Jewish community, but according to Jewish law, Joseph could not take Mary into his household until after the wedding ceremony. and only then would their union be complete. Mary was devoted to her husband, and she was devoted to her heavenly Father as well. Like Joseph, Mary was a pious Jew. She desired to live a holy life. Her faith was important to her, evidenced by her familiarity with God's word. As we read in the Magnificat, Mary is actually quoting from the Old Testament, particularly the Psalms. So she knew, she had studied, she had hidden God's word in her heart. It was part and parcel of who she was. She has grown up with an understanding of her faith. She has a connection to her heritage, and she has a sense of personal responsibility and morality. Because of that, she remained pure. So how do you summarize this first point then? The fact that Mary was indeed important. Mary was but a teen, and yet she made very mature decisions. That's a great exhortation to all of our young people in our church. Mary was yet a teen, but she still made important, very mature decisions. She decided to remain pure. She decided to make God's word a priority in her life, and she decided to pursue holiness. Jerry Bridges, in his wonderful little book, The Pursuit of Holiness, puts it this way. To live a holy life, then, is to live a life in conformity to the moral precepts of the Bible and in contrast to the sinful ways of the world. So how do we apply this truth? How do we apply this truth about Mary? Mary lived her life that way. So I have to ask, you know, how do you live yours? What is important to you? Do you live your life by biblical principles, or does it change? Does it vacillate back and forth depending on what society accepts? Holiness was important to Mary. She lived or strived to live a holy life that honored and glorified God. What choices do we make? How do we live a holy life? We have choices like that every day. In holiness, or is holiness, something reserved for what goes on within these sacred walls on Sunday morning, or something to be constantly sought after, day by day, week by week, moment by moment? To Mary, it was. Mary was indeed a woman of holiness. Now, having said all of that about Mary, there is something else that we need to be aware of, and that leads me to point number two. Not only was Mary a woman of holiness, but Mary was also a woman of humility. Throughout the history of the church, many have viewed Luke chapter 1, verse 28 and verse 30 as an angelic acclamation of Mary's worthiness to be the earthly mother of Jesus. The New International Version translates that passage, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." The New American Standard translates that passage, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." The King James Version translates it, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." We need to pause here for just a moment and recognize, despite the fact that Mary was a girl who pursued holiness, there was nothing meritorious about her that entitled her to become the earthly mother of Jesus. Let me say that again. Despite the fact that Mary did indeed pursue a holy lifestyle, there was really nothing meritorious about her that entitled her to be the earthly mother of Jesus. Verse 28 tells us that it was God's sovereign choice. Just like God sovereignly chose, created the nation of Israel to be his own people, just as God has sovereignly chosen you to be a member of the family of God, just as God has sovereignly chosen me, he chose Mary. There was nothing in her, there was nothing in Israel, there was nothing in Abraham, there was nothing in you, there was nothing in me that warranted God's favor at all. The phrase highly favored is actually a passive participle. It's a passive participle form of the Greek word charis, which is more appropriately translated one having been favored. Charis is where we get our word charisma, one who has been given special spiritual endowments. I would imagine that there were plenty of peasant girls in Israel that were just as committed to God and their husbands as Mary was. There were no doubt other girls who would have been able to fulfill the prophecy that the Messiah would come from the line of David. So hear this. Hear this. Mary was not chosen by God because she was blessed. She was blessed because she was chosen by God. And she knew it. We get our first glimpse at Mary's humility when the angel first appears to her. Verse 29 tells us that she was troubled. Naturally, you would be startled if Gabriel was sent down to your house one night and spoke to you. She was startled. She was afraid. That's a natural response. But that's not what the Greek word means here. It's the word diaterazo. It means perplexed. She was puzzled. She was not only startled or afraid, but she was also perplexed. She was confused at his greeting. She was asking, why am I so favored? Why me? This simple peasant girl is looked upon by millions as the mother of God, the queen of heaven. She is even prayed to and even worshiped by many people. Curiously, however, the last time we see Mary in the scriptures is in a prayer meeting. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, we see her devoting herself to prayer along with the other disciples. She is not being worshiped, she is worshiping. She is not being prayed to, but rather she's praying along with the rest of the disciples. She has been favored by God and had done her work for him faithfully. Now she takes her place humbly within the community of God's people. Samuel Brendel, who was a teacher, a preacher, and once the commissioner of the Salvation Army, has said, "The Lord does use me," he's referring to himself, "the Lord does use me like a tool. But the axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. It could do nothing but for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, and he used it. The moment he throws it aside, it becomes only old iron. Oh, that I may never lose sight of that fact. The mighty servant of God is, in all probability, one who yesterday expressed his humility by working gladly and faithfully in obscurity. Mary became the axe. Like David before Goliath, Mary was willing to be a precious tool in the hands of Almighty God. She never forgot that. She knew just as easily as God picked her up, he could put her back down. And the same, of course, is true for each of us today. The question is, are we willing to be used by God as a tool, regardless of what task God has asked us to perform? Are we willing to do it humbly, like Mary? Mary probably remembered what God had said to Moses, "I will have mercy on who I have mercy, and I will have compassion upon whom I have compassion." It's God's choice, sovereign choice. So what about you? What about me? Can God really use us? Or do our egos get in the way? Oh God, I'll serve you as long as I'm in the limelight, as long as the spotlight comes on me, and as long as I can get the recognition that I deserve, yes, you can use me. But we should be asking, why me? God's sovereign choice at any time, at any place, through anyone, God can choose to accomplish his plan. Mary was a woman of holiness, and she was a woman of humility, and she was also a woman of harmony. The defining moment of Mary's relationship with God was not giving birth to Jesus in a stable. Her defining moment was not dedicating him in the temple. Her defining moment wasn't even her presence at the cross. I suggest to you this morning that her defining moment is found right here in Luke chapter 1, in between, somewhere in between verse 37 and 38. For that brief moment, Mary faced a decision of monumental proportion. The angel Gabriel appears to her, and she's got a decision to make. Do I cooperate with this angelic pronouncement? Do I say yes to God? Notice, she didn't waver. She doesn't waver at all. She doesn't stammer. She doesn't even say to Gabriel, "Well, you caught me at a bad time right now. Can I think it over? Can I talk to my mom? Can I talk to some other friends? Can you come back tomorrow?" No, she responds in that instant. She laid everything that she had on the altar, including her honor, her reputation, her love, her friends, her home, her family, her future, everything. In that split second moment, I wonder how many of us could make a decision of that importance that quickly. I know you say, "Well, Pastor Rick, if Gabriel came to me, I'd be easy. That'd be an easy decision to make." I wonder. Mary typifies the person that God often uses. She brings no outstanding credentials to the task, no wealth of experience, no training or preparation. She was a simple girl. She has nothing on her resume other than her availability and willingness to serve her God. Her availability and her willingness. But those characteristics are the most basic ones any one of us can ever offer God. I love how Scripture tells us that God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. He chooses the weak to humble the strong. That means He can choose me. That means He can choose any of us. We don't have to have any special kind of credentials in order to be used by God in a mighty way. And even though our names won't be written in Scripture the way Mary's has been, we can be every bit as important in the eyes of God when He wants to use us for His divine purposes. Mary gives her answer in verse 38. And she has no idea the full ramifications. I mean, God didn't give her a fast-forward view of the way things were going to be. She hadn't heard yet from Simeon, who told her, a sword will pierce your heart. She didn't know the totality of the story just yet. But boy, it was a powerful moment. God often asks us to be a part of what He's doing, but He doesn't give us the view over the horizon. He doesn't tell us where this is going to go or how it's going to end. All He wants to know is, are we willing? Are we available? But she desires to have her life in sync, in harmony with what God is doing. So she lets go of all of her personal expectations, all of her plans, all of her dreams, all of her future. Remember, she was supposed to marry Joseph, and they were going to live happily ever after. And God just interrupts all of that. Has He ever done that to you? You know, man makes his plans, but God, what? Guides his steps. Yeah, that happened to me. What do you mean go to seminary? I don't want to go to seminary. I'm happy in my work right now. I'm happy in how predictable it is. I'm happy of how safe it is. I'm happy that I don't have to live by faith. And God said, oh, I've got a lot to teach you. And off we went. And for the first time in my life, I had to learn what it was like to live by faith. And once you've lived in faith land, you never want to go back. You never want to go back to predictable mediocrity. It was amazing. So Mary said, yes, I'll do this. Be as you have said. The story is told of a college student back in the 19th century who took out 6 index cards and he wrote a large letter on each one of them. He wrote L, E, T, G, O, D. And then he put them on his bookshelf so that he could see them every day. And one evening, a draft blew through the apartment window, and the D blew away. And as he picked it up off the floor, what he saw seemed to be a message from God, not only to him, but to all of us. The secret of the Christian life. Only by letting go can you let God carry out His will in your life. There's a couple of things that we can learn from Mary's response here. Mary being in harmony with God's will. Mary asks, or God asks us, the same question every day. Not if we want to be the mother of His Son, but if we want to be part of what He is doing. Scripture tells us that He predestined us unto adoption. That's what Paul would write to the Ephesians. And he said that we have been adopted by God before the foundation of the world, and that he has created good works that what? We might ignore them later in life. No, that we might walk in them, that we might do his will, that we might be a part of what he is doing. He wants us to be part of what he is doing. And whether we have the credentials or not, when God wants us to be part of something, he is only interested in one thing: our responsive heart. Are you willing? Are you willing to speak up when the opportunity presents itself? Are you willing to be a kind hand to someone in need? Are you willing to be Christ's hands and feet at the right time? Because all of these things have been prepared beforehand that we might walk in them. Especially at Christmas, we have many open doors that perhaps we wouldn't have otherwise. So Mary answers, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." When God asks something of you, can you answer that way? God, may it be to me as you have said. I want you to do this. I want you to go there. I want you to say this. But that's inconvenient. I don't want to be inconvenienced. Well, can we respond the way Mary did? Mary was a woman of holiness. She was committed to God. Mary was also a woman of humility. Although the mother of God's son, she was God's humble maidservant. And Mary was also a woman of harmony. She was submissive to God's purposes, even though it interfered with what she had already planned and what had been already planned. Imagine that. One of the apostles of Mary's son would one day write, "Who, being the very nature of God, the essence of holiness and righteousness, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or held on to stubbornly, but made himself nothing." Made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. I've been a Christian since 1977, and I still can't get my head around that. That Almighty God, the creator of the universe, the creator of all I see around me and all I see in the stars at night, would condescend to take on human flesh and tabernacle among his creation. That just blows my mind. All because of love, what we sang about. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, again, he humbled himself and became obedient, became submissive to death, even death on a cross. Mary was a woman of holiness. Mary was a woman of humility. Mary was a woman of harmony. And through all of that, even with all of those things, she would ask, "Why me?" And maybe you would ask that this morning, and my response to you would be, "Why not you? Why not?" God loves to use all of us for his purposes. At Christmas time and always. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the example that Mary gives, the powerful example. And Lord, we do want to respect and honor her for what she has done for you. Lord, may we have that same kind of desire to be holy, just as Jesus said, just as his Father said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And Lord, just as Mary and Jesus gave us the example of being humble, may we choose that road as well. And Lord, may we desire to always walk in harmony with your purposes, that we would be available to be used by you as a tool of your grace. Lord, thank you for giving us these opportunities to be reminded. Thank you for the powerful lesson that we've seen in the life of Mary today. Thank you most especially for the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.